I have a nice, neat, tidy manuscript in front of me. The syntax is impeccable. There are things in here I want to say to you, and I will. And perhaps I'll say them in the way that I've written them down. But my heart is so heavy. I can hardly speak. A couple of weeks ago on Facebook, my daughter-in-law, Anna, posted something that happened at their house. My son, Carl, and Anna both posted it together. It was an event, something that happened when they were putting my grandson, J.D., to bed at night. They're getting him ready for bed. J.D. attends a really good preschool that's costing them a lot of money to keep him in it in Detroit. It's right there in the area around Henry Ford Hospital. And J.D. came home, and he was getting ready for bed, and they were in the bathroom brushing his teeth. And he looked around, and he said, "This is a good place to hide." And Anna said, "What are you talking about?" "Well, we had a drill today, an active shooter drill, a lockdown drill. My three-year-old has learned the word lockdown. We practiced hiding in the bathroom today at preschool. He's three." So I was commiserating with Anna on Facebook about that experience and basically thinking in my mind, it is prudent, it is good. I hate to increase the anxiety and the fear in a three-year-old. I'd like to teach them that the world is a reliable place, a trustworthy place, but I'm kind of glad that the teachers are getting ready for a moment when it might not be that. But in the back of my mind, I thought, it's not very likely. I'll bet the parents and the students at the school in Florida were thinking the same thing. Happens elsewhere, not very likely here. Until someone started shooting. Someone with a weapon they should never have had their hands on. Someone with a weapon, by the way, I'm very aware today that I might be offending some people here, but hey, I'm an interim. You know? Someone who got their hands on a weapon they should never have had, and a weapon that has no purpose beyond the military use. And maybe for those people who love to collect such things, some kind of interest in collecting a unique weapon like that. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to gun collectors. I own a deer rifle still, for crying out loud. Don't use it anymore, but I still own it. And I have fond memories of those deer hunting days with my dad. But someone who had their hands on a weapon that should not exist out in public, should not be available in public, has no purpose, and went into a school and started shooting, and 17 people are dead. And I'm moved to tears by the stories of those who put themselves in the line of fire to protect others. Some of them teachers who lost their lives. Learned about a student today who held the door against the intruder while the intruder shot through the door. He's wounded four times. He's in the hospital undergoing surgery. He may recover. He'll have injuries that will mark him for the rest of his life. I have no question about the heroism in the human heart in America. No question about it whatsoever. What I question is our lack. I don't question it. What I'm astounded by, what moves me to tears this morning, is our lack of political will to do anything significant about this, and our easy hiding behind prayer. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. But we will oppose any initiative in Congress to put any restrictions on guns that have no purpose in civilian life. Nor will we, by the way, we're going to cut the funding for mental health services in America. I have this habit before I come to worship on Sundays. I check in, because once I get here, I'm too busy to check in. So before I leave the house, I check in. Going to worship with the good people at Lexington United Methodist Church, what a joy it is to be with them. Today I posted and I said, I'm ready to leave the house and go to worship to preach upon Jesus in the wilderness. And I'm feeling in the wilderness after the news from Florida. Maybe I can meet Jesus there. Having said all that, let me turn to my manuscript. I want to ask you this question, since this is Jesus in the wilderness. It says, in those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan, and just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, a spirit descending like a dove on him, and the voice came from heaven saying, you are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased. And then the spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. So I begin by asking this question. Is this any way to start a gospel? No shepherds, no wise men, no birth narrative, no star in the sky, none of that sentimental stuff we love at Christmas time. I understand that each of the Gospels provides a unique perspective on the life and the ministry of Jesus. I'm perfectly willing to let Matthew be Matthew, let Luke be Luke. I know that the Gospel of John provides a special theological perspective on Jesus, rendered in a stunningly beautiful verse that is found in no other Gospel. Mark also has beauty and power. Everything in Mark is immediate, and the details are sparse. The narrative is direct and to the point. My problem with Mark is found in the way it begins. Don't you think that Mark could have spent a little time easing us into the gospel story? Matthew has wise men encountering the infant Jesus under the guidance of that brilliant star. Luke tells of shepherds encountering angels in the hills outside of Bethlehem. John connects the birth of Jesus with God's plan of creation and the coming of light into the world. Overwhelmed by darkness, but Mark offers neither kings nor shepherds nor any account of the birth of Jesus at all. Mark begins with the baptism of Jesus by John in the River Jordan, God's voice claiming Jesus as God's beloved son. Then, having been claimed by God, Mark tells us that Jesus was, and the word is, driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. Not led, not invited, compelled to enter the wilderness. claimed by God, driven into the wilderness. Is that any way to start a gospel? You see, with Mark, I feel like I run right out to the end of my scriptural leash. Mark provides only a terse declaration, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then Mark describes the Holy Spirit as driving Jesus into the wilderness to be tested by Satan. Mark links baptism and wilderness in a way that offers me no comfort whatsoever. I don't want that linkage, but it's there. In fact, we are linked in a way that disturbs the heart of the disciples who came to faith singing things like, softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. There is no comfort in being driven into the wilderness. And I this morning am expressing to you my profound discomfort about this wilderness moment in our lives together. Well, you see, I've spent a whole lot of my time in life trying to avoid the wilderness. I've enjoyed camping as a family. I still enjoy camping. Especially, I remember back when our children were younger. But that camping was always in a manner that kept wilderness at arm's length. We entered the wilderness, you see, for a visit, but we had no intention of staying there. So after a week of sleeping in our pop-up camper, which is about as soft of a wilderness as you can get, I was always dreaming of returning to a nice hotel with its predictable assembly of two beds, a TV bolted to the credenza, clean folded towels, and a breakfast that offered no surprises whatsoever. You see, I can tolerate a little disruption, a little wilderness in my life, but I work to quickly put things back in their place. And I guess that's what I'm expressing to you this morning, is that I've reached my wilderness tolerance level over the issue of gun violence in America. It plays out in different ways in different lives. A spouse announces to the counselor, "I just don't love him or her anymore," and then the partner, the other, is thrown into a whirlwind of activity, saying things like, "Tell me what to do, I'll change, I'll be what you want, just come back so that we can be the way we were." That's one kind of wilderness. Or a boss says, as they did to my friend Cecil Doremus, "You're fired." And someone responds with, "Where will I go? What will I do? How can I face my family? How can I show my face in church?" Or a doctor visits a bedside and says, "We found an inoperable malignancy. We'll try chemo. You start next week." And someone enters that wilderness of fear and regret and impotency that comes with such a diagnosis, especially if it comes not to you, but to someone you love. Impotency. Life is like that. And just when I think I've got it all together, it seems like something happens that I never expected, and I find myself in yet another wilderness. I thought that having Jesus in my life meant a life of peace and harmony, happiness. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. But you see, that wilderness keeps cropping up. And I want to shout as I do this morning, as I have before you this morning, not me, not now, let me out of here. I don't want to be here. I want to go home. That's not very productive, but it's kind of the way I feel right now. I do not want to hear another person arguing about how they have to have an AR-15 because who knows when they'll be called upon to save a loved one from some intruder. My friends, that is a fantasy. The truth is that the prevalence of guns in America, unrestricted, and guns that have no purpose in civilian life, are killing us. They contribute to the suicide rate. They contribute to the accidental shooting. They contribute to domestic violence going all the way to murdering a partner. I am not opposed to collectors and hobbyists. I am not opposed to hunters. I am not saying that the Second Amendment should be repealed. I am saying that we face a crisis and that reasonable people can work together for good policies. America has 4% of the population in the world and nearly 50% of the non-military firearms. I need to remember the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Is this any way to begin a gospel out there in the wilderness, called by God, driven into the wilderness? My answer is yes. Perhaps it was written to the beleaguered Christians of Rome suffering under the tyranny of Nero. Perhaps it was written later during the Jewish-Roman War when Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. Whatever the case, Mark makes the assertion that having been claimed by God, our work begins in the wilderness. So I am saying this morning to this body of faithful Christians, it's time for us to get to work. We are in this wilderness together. There are reasonable things that we can do. Yes, we should pray. But we must not stop there. Whatever the case, Mark makes the assertion that having been claimed by God, our work begins in this wilderness. His language leaves us no choice. He describes Jesus as driven by the Spirit out into the wilderness. Mark offers no refuge in discipleship. No refuge in having claimed the name of Jesus as your own. Mark takes Jesus directly from the water of baptism out into the wilderness, struggling against all of the things that try to deny God. Why are we so surprised? The wilderness has always been the arena of God's activity. It represents another of those ways in which the gospel witness comes to cross purposes with common expectation. And that's why I have invited you to bring crosses. And why I would label this a theme for this Lenten season, cross purposes. Cross purposes put Noah and his family on the ark and allowed God to say, look, the present tragedy is not the last word. See that rainbow? Oh, how I need a rainbow this morning. Cross purposes told Abraham to expect what seemed impossible. crossed purposes, walked with Moses and the Israelites through the desert beyond the Red Sea. Cross purposes, nailed Jesus to the tree and then raised him up on Easter morning. Isaiah declared it, and Mark quotes Isaiah, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." Is this any way to begin a gospel? You bet it is. It tells us that once claimed by God, we have nothing to fear. It tells us that faith is not about making life comfy to the body and cozy to the spirit. Once claimed by God, there is bound to be a wilderness in your future. But Mark knew Isaiah. And Isaiah says it best when he's not misquoted. Because often we quote Isaiah this way. We say, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. But that's not what Isaiah says. There's a comma in there, an important comma. In the wilderness, comma. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. In this wilderness moment, pray. Then write your congressman, especially if you are a gun owner and a hobbyist and you care about the joy of that, because there's a lot of joy. And tell him, I'll vote for you if you'll do something reasonable to make us safer. Forgive me. Thanks be to God.